Well, I think it was about a decade ago when I observed a colleague of mine who was mentoring several people who brought fantastic gifts to ministry. And I wondered, how did he figure out who to mentor? How did he figure out who was going to be worth his time and attention and energy? How did he know who to dedicate so much time to? How did he find these people with such extraordinary gifts? I have since then realized that he was not actually as perceptive as all that. Instead, he simply invested in lots of people. He loved them, mentored them, gave them opportunities to learn and grow and serve, and he was persistent in urging them on so long as they were willing. And the truth is that some of them fizzled out, or some of them had major setbacks before jumping back in with renewed passion. And some were people who no one would have thought to invest in. Some were, on face value, bad investments. But he was beautifully reckless in his encouragement. Jesus says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Are we willing to follow such advice? I mean, of course, we are followers of Jesus, right? At least that is what we proclaim, that we follow Jesus, and it is Jesus who tells us to do such a thing. But practically speaking, is it wise? A different colleague of mine told me once that when he was starting a brand new church, he was a mission developer, is what we call them, he told me that he strategically picked out what neighborhoods around the church plant that he would visit, because he only visited those neighborhoods where the people living there would be likely to be able to financially support the church. Wise, right? I confess, it made me physically uncomfortable when he told me that. Should we here at Epiphany do everything in our power to mentor and teach and accompany and love young people in this community, even knowing they have little to offer, at least financially, though perhaps more energy than we would like at times? Should we continue to open our church to loaves and fishes, even though the neighbors who find help here are not the most likely to remember Epiphany when they make a bequest? Should you mow your neighbor's lawn? Overgrown, obnoxiously ugly lawn, even though you know they will never mow your lawn. Well, Jesus, in what he says today, seems to say an emphatic yes. We should do all those things. And the question for us then is, Jesus's emphatic yes enough to outweigh the world's emphatic no? A few months ago, I went to the Harriet Tubman Museum in St. Michael's on the Eastern Shore. Have any of you been there? Oh, you should go there. If you haven't gone yet, please go. And when I was there, I witnessed up close a magnificent mural of Harriet Tubman reaching out and down. Deacon Doug, do you have that? the mural? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is. Have you all seen that? It's a beautiful painting. And when I saw this, I had seen it before, but seeing it up close, it really impacts you in a different way because it feels like Harriet Tubman is reaching out to you to help pull you up. It put to mind for me a quote by none other than Jesse Jackson, who once said, "Never look down on anybody unless you're helping them up." Harriet Tubman experienced trauma and cruelty. And finally, she experienced freedom. And yet, even still having that freedom in hand, she risked it all to go back and lead others to freedom. She even chose to risk her life and go into the Deep South to lead a battalion of freed slaves to help reunite our country. We hear today, let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. And so, today we remember. Today we remember those who are in mourning in Minneapolis after yet another horrific school shooting. We remember that today there are people who are dying of starvation while food aid spoils unreachable. And today, on this Labor Day weekend, we remember that there were women in a garment factory who died in a fire because the owners of the factory were unwilling to have emergency exits because they might take too many breaks. And their deaths meant that we are protected in our workplaces, that we started to have rights as workers. We remember those who are dying in these days in Penn North, feeling hopeless as the overdose toll rises yet again. And as we remember, we seek to be Harriet Tubman, reaching down with a hand, seeking ways to invite others to the banquet, to a life of abundance and grace and love. Not because they can pay us back, right? But because Jesus invites us into reckless love, uncalculated love. It may not be a good or rational investment, but this is the kind of life worth living. And finally, I will remind you of this. Not only do we entertain angels without knowing it, sometimes we are the recipients of God's angels of hospitality and welcome and generosity. Not because we have paid our dues, but because God's love enfolds us all. May you find that God's reckless love seeks you out in your times of despair or frustration or pain. That God welcomes you to the banquet. In Jesus' name, amen.